America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
She is the youngest daughter of the beloved global icon and humanitarian Muhammad Ali, a two-time Hall of Famer and four-time undefeated boxing world champion. Her stellar record includes 24 wins, 21 of which were knockouts, and zero losses. Leila Ali, our guest on This Lady Loves Sports.
Let's go!
Welcome to This Lady Loves Sports Podcast with Pat Prescott. Sports. She knows it all and is here to talk about it. So get ready to hear sports talk in a way that you've never heard before. It's This Lady Loves Sports Podcast. And here's your host, Pat Prescott.
This is Pat Prescott for This Lady Loves Sports. And this lady loves Leila Ali. I cannot believe she's going to be a guest on the podcast today. She's a world-class athlete, as you know. She's a mother of two, a fitness and wellness expert, TV host, cooking enthusiast, the founder of the Leila Ali lifestyle brand, and one of my favorite athletes. I just love what you've done with your career and how you're moving on and doing some really exciting things too in media. Welcome.
Thank you. What a wonderful introduction. I appreciate that.
It's so good to see you here. Now, on this podcast, we really talk a lot about people's love affair with sports. Of course, you have one. And I want to talk to you a little bit about some of your earliest memories of sport and what it meant to you, and when you knew that this was something you wanted to pursue for yourself.
That's an interesting story, and it doesn't go the way most people probably would think it did. Growing up in the household with my father being the greatest, I was so young, and you know, that was dad to me, so I was really young by the time he retired from boxing, so I didn't have that experience, really seeing him train and seeing him fight and all of that, and it wasn't really my interest, obviously, as a 2 and 3 year old, right? So it wasn't until I saw women's boxing on television for the first time when I was 17 years old that I even knew women's boxing was a sport that it was available. I hadn't thought about it before. Uh-huh. It was just something my dad did. You know how that is. When I saw it, I immediately wanted to do it. So there was a fire that was sparked inside of me, and I was like, oh my God, like wildly excited. Like, how did I not know about this? Because I'd always been a fighter. I'd always been aggressive. Always had, I think, what it takes to be an athlete. I know that now, but hadn't participated in sports because I wasn't pushed by my parents. Mm-hmm. So, of course, obviously, you know, I saw women's boxing, went home contemplating the idea of becoming a fighter, but then got a little afraid, like, wait a minute, I'm not an athlete, I don't know anything about sports. And you think about the pressure and being Muhammad Ali's daughter, and I'd have to live my life publicly, which I didn't really want to do. So it took me a year of contemplation and really doing some soul searching, like, do I really want to take this leap? And then I said, well, let me go to the gym and see if I even have the talent, because I'm not going to embarrass myself, and I do not want to embarrass my father, because that would be an embarrassment for him, you know? Here comes his daughter behind him and just getting knocked out. But So I went to the gym and started training kind of secretly, saying that I was just working out and was just trying to lose some weight, which was true. I did need to do, but I had my eye set on the prize already.
Boxing is a great way to do that, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I lost about 30 pounds. And of course, you know, it's not all about the weight. It's about being at your best and fighting form. And I needed to lose about 30 pounds in order to be in the right weight class, or I would be powerful and strong and just quick. And so anyway, fell in love with it, started, kept training, and then kind of announced to my father first. And that was an interesting story. And then the world. And then that was it from there.
So what was that conversation like?
Well, my father had heard the grapevine that I had been in the gym, because once I started sparring, which is actually getting in the ring, training, and dropped a couple guys in the gym, you know, because I was just that green strong, like, I'm gonna throw it as hard as I can. The time it landed, I remember dropping this young fella, and I was kind of embarrassed for him. But that got around. Like, oh, wait a minute, she can punch. You know, what's she trying to do? You're not just training now. You're actually getting hit and throwing punches and taking them. So my dad came in town, because he didn't live in California, and he says, you know, I hear you're boxing. And I'm like, yeah, I am, Dad. And now let me just pause right there. I'm that child. I'm the youngest girl, the baby. And I've always done what I wanted to do, and I've always butt heads with my father. So he knew he had to approach me a certain way. He couldn't tell me not to do it, but he's going to try to indirectly talk me out of it, was his game plan, I think. So he says, you know, I hear you're boxing. I said, yeah, I am. He says, well, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on you. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I thought about this, you know, and I'm ready to face it. And he said, well, what are you going to do if you get knocked down? I'm like, well, I'm going to get back up. It's like you did. You got knocked down, you got back up. And he's just like getting more and more irritated. Like, what are you going to do if you get knocked out? Like, that's just not going to happen. But for the sake of this conversation, I would ask for a rematch. And he says, he got so frustrated and finally said what was really on his mind. He said, you know what? It's not for women. It's too hard. It's too tough. You know, I don't want you to do it, basically. And I was like, Dad, I understand the way that you feel, but this is what I'm going to do. At that point, I had already been training. I was ready to go. There was no way he was going to talk me out of it. So I didn't take it personal, because at the time, looking back now as a mother on my own, I know he was afraid. You know, the gym is a dirty, grimy place full of men and shady characters. Why would you want your young daughter and your child's coming to you and you're thinking, babe, you think
this
you know,
but baby.
You don't. And you think you know. You know, teens, they think you think you know this, but you don't.
It's ignorance on fire.
Exactly. But I was like, everybody has been that ignorance on fire at some point, and this is my ignorance on fire, and I'm going to go right into it. You know, so that's what I did. And he eventually came around, and of course, he supported me and came to my fights, because that's what he needed to do, but he did not like any moment of it. I mean, I'm talking about while he was in that ring, he'd come into the arena and the crowd would chant, Ali, Ali, for him first. And so I'm sure that just ignited that feeling in him he used to feel as a fighter. And then I'd come in, and then I know that proud feeling of now they're doing it for his daughter. And then to see me in there doing my thing. And then that is the only connection that we have out of all my brothers and sisters, to know what it's like to get in that ring, to fight, to prepare, everything you put your body through and the thoughts you have the night before the fight. You know, so me and him connected on a deeper level.
What did having that personal knowledge of, you know, what your dad was going through do for your appreciation and respect for him?
It's really grown as I've gotten older, because at that time it was really just all about me. You know, I was just kind of like, I was young, you know, I was a kid, and it's like, this is my life, this is what I want to do. And it took so much focus, it took so much dedication and inner strength, because, you know, everyone had negative things to say. You're too pretty, you're a girl, you can't box, you can't do this, you can't do that, whole world's judging you. A lot of people didn't think I genuinely wanted to fight. It's like, oh, this is a platform for you to do something else. I'm like, first of all, think about that. Why would you fight because you want to be a model or actress? I'm risking my looks. Like, so it takes a certain type of individual to get in the ring. But what they, you know, they just don't know any better. So you have to just kind of tune that out. But to be so young, that really made me strong. But it also made me feel like I had something to prove.
Yeah, you know, I love the relationship that you have with your dad. And something that really stands out to me is watching his amazing homegoing service, that memorial service, which was so purposeful and had so much meaning in it, especially at a time in this country when I think we really needed that. I think it was kind of a healing experience. Talk a little bit about the planning of all that and what you believe to be his final intention in that.
Well, with the question you had asked me prior, I was going to say that I did learn a lot about my father through my career, and just looking back now on all that blood, sweat, and tears that went into his, I mean, that was his prime when he was boxing, when he went through everything he went that makes him so great, you know, not going to war and, you know, getting his title stripped and everything. And then here's your daughter going into that now. So probably stirred up so many feelings within him. So I have a different point of view now, just now I'm older and as a parent, that it's not just, you know, I look at like I was talking about it being about me, right? I was focused on that. But my father had planned how he wanted everything done, you know, for the most part. I think it was followed. So, because he knew he was going to, at some time, like we all do, pass. And he had, there was a thick book, like, this is how we want it to go. That's pretty much, but I wasn't involved in it. But that's as far as I can say. And it was a very overwhelming experience for the family.
I can, you know, imagine.
Because you're trying to process everything. My kids now really understand the magnitude of who their grandfather was as they see all these people coming out. It was like sensory overload for them. So, you know, but that I think he would have been proud to see, and probably would have said, like, that's it? There's only a couple million people there, not 10? Yeah, that would be my dad, trust me. He's like, I want my funeral in an arena so everybody can come. And people did come from around the world. I remember being at the airport, and there was a gentleman there who came up to me and paid his respects. And he was like, I came from Australia. He just came by himself, didn't have a way into the event, just wanted to be there in Louisville, Kentucky, outside. And I was like, wow, just shows you how many people's lives he touched and how we all can do that in our own way, touch other people's lives. So that's what it's all about. You don't have to be Muhammad Ali to change a life.
Yeah. Well, you know, you say people came from all over the world, but you cannot discount the number of people who watched it.
Oh, yeah.
And in the world that we live in today, where nothing is, everything is available, mm-hmm. you know you're going to be able to see it. And we recorded it. We watched it a few times it was the kind of thing I wanted to share with other people mm-hmm. who didn't see it.
Yes.
Because it's hard to explain to somebody all of the mm-hmm. amazing things that happened mm-hmm. and the inclusiveness of that and the statement that it really made about, you know, if you want to leave a legacy, and certainly your dad has done that in so many different ways, but it moved me because it also left, it said to me he cared about what happened to the rest of mm-hmm. us after he was not with us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that was super, super special.
He definitely cared. His whole life was giving back to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's what I really take from my father.
Layla Ali is with us today. And Layla has a great TV show. It's the 8th season now of Home Made Simple with Layla Ali, premiering on Saturday, November 3rd on OWN, which is a great network to be on.
It is. It's really fun being on Oprah's network. The show has been on for so long because it's a great show. So I'm excited to be the new host, and we're going into the second season with me. It used to be a half hour show, and it went to an hour show, which really gives us time to get into the backstories of the individuals whose homes were making over. I get to get in the kitchen and cook with these families out of my cookbook, Food for Life. So I'm showing them healthy meals and ways to just kind of improve their life. So I think that it's an amazing show, amazing concept. Happy to be a part of it. And yes, we are on every Saturday on OWN.
Not surprised at all that TV would be something that you would do. I don't know how many people were really surprised to see your acumen, though, in the kitchen.
They're surprised. Yeah. And you know what? It's been a journey, because I've been cooking since I was 10 years old, because my mom didn't cook and I love to cook. I mean, I had exposure to some really good soul food because my dad had a cook. But then when my parents divorced, I had to divorce the cook. I was like, oh, no, mom, come on. But she wasn't trying to get in the kitchen. So I called my grandma on the phone and taught myself. So I'm a home cook. And then, of course, through becoming an athlete, I learned about nutrition and how the food that I ate really affected my thought process, my performance, everything. So from then on, I was like, okay, I want to eat good food, but I don't want to sacrifice my health. So I always say, in my kitchen, nutrition is king, but flavor is queen.
I tell you, yeah, and when you're cooking, you know what you're eating.
Yeah.
And that's the only way mm-hmm. you know what you're eating.
Yeah, well, because all this process, additives, we have a lot of things being sold to us that are food-like, but it's not even food. And our bodies can't process it, and we wonder why we get sick.
And even if we're going to restaurants, we don't know the quality of ingredients they're using. We, you know, all those little things they stick in there that make it taste better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when there are other alternates for that stuff, too.
Well, you see now, by law in some places, they have to put all the calories and things. And you're like, I ordered a salad and it has 2,500 calories. Like, what must they have put in this dressing to make it, you know, it's just like a salad, you know? So that's the thing, like you said. You don't know what you're eating unless you prepare it yourself.
Now, if I'm coming to your house for dinner, what is your specialty? What are you going to make to really impress me? What's on our menu?
Well, it depends on the guests, but I would say that what people tend to really love of mine is my oven fried chicken wings. Because who doesn't love fried chicken? But I do it in the oven, but you would not know. It's not that, oh, it's oven fried, and you're like, oh, this is okay. Like, you really would have thought I fried this chicken with this process that I cook it. I would say seafood gumbo.
I need that
gumbo.
Recipe. That's in the book, right? That's in the book.
That's in the book. Seafood gumbo. I could enter a gumbo contest, I would say. that.
You got the filet and all of that.
Yes,
you know how to make the roux.
You got to make it all from scratch.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, people are buying roux now, too. You can buy roux. You know,
What on earth are they putting in that to make it last?
Oh my God, that's kind of scary.
It is.
But I get it. Not everyone has time. So I always try to encourage people and through my book just to try to be as healthy as you can. And when you are out, because I travel, we're eating out today because I'm out of the house all day. I'm going to make healthy choices, you know, and I'm going to make, you know, I went to a place that got grass fed meat. I was like, great, I can eat here, you know. So
do your kids cook too?
My kids try to get in the kitchen with me. My daughter is 7, so I still try to keep. She's that one you got to watch because she will pick up a knife and try to cut. But my son doesn't want to hurt himself, so he's a little older. He's 10, so yeah, we do some baking mostly, which is more fun than actually cooking on the stove. Uh-huh. He's a little older.
So what are some of the highlights of the upcoming season? Any special shows you want us to look out for?
You know what? I mean, every family, every time we shoot, I'm like, wow, how are we going to top this one? But then the next family I meet, and they're amazing too, because we actually shoot 2 episodes a week. So I'm shooting simultaneously, yeah. And these families are amazing, and it's interesting. For me, the toughest part of the show is just remembering all the names. You know what I mean? Because I go from home to home. But I would say there's a woman that really stood out to me. Speaking of names, I can't think of her last name right now, but she is terminally ill, and her sister flew in town to take care of her, and she wants to give back to her sister. So instead of doing the room for her, she brought us in to give her sister room, because she said it's like it's a guest room, and she gave up her life. Like, she gave up her life, moved all the way out here and got on the plane and takes such a good care of her. So she's like, I want my sister to have a retreat, because one of them, like, she's kind of punk and her sister's laid back, and she's like, I just feel like I'm in a guest room. I was like, you've been here 5 years, it's time to get this room right. So that was a really wonderful episode, because they had such amazing attitudes. Like, you would never know, you know, what she was struggling with, and it really just made you, through her story, appreciate life, appreciate your health every day, you know, because for her, she never knows when this is going to be her last day.
Well, one of the beautiful things I think about the show is that, you know, not only there's so many cooking shows and home shows and let's remodel and all that, mm-hmm. but to have a story, mm-hmm. and that's every episode does have a story that can really touch you and kind of put life in perspective for you. You know, when you see some of the kinds of things that people go through, some of the acts of generosity that people will extend to others, be it their family or mm-hmm. their friends or whatever. And I'm sure that gives you a lot as a host to latch on to and to work with in a show.
Of course. Well, you know, as what you do, when you can really buy into the people that you're working with, it makes it so much more interesting, where it doesn't feel like work anymore. And then obviously we got an A team of people behind the scenes picking the right families, you know, so that's great. It makes my job easier. And like I said, there's so much depth there that they make sure we have people that are relatable. You know, whether you're a mom that just recently got a divorce and you have 5 children and you're on your own and you're trying to make ends meet, but how much difference it makes if somebody comes in and gives you a brand new washer and dryer and redoes your kitchen and helps organize your home. That really is life changing for her, because she's like, wow, now I don't have to go to the laundromat. You know, that's like 3 more hours out of my day. So, you know, those types of stories really are heartwarming. So it's more than just a makeover show.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And doing a TV show is a lot of work, isn't it?
Girl.
Did you have any idea how much work this was going to be?
I did, because I've hosted multiple shows now. I mean, one of the first big shows that I hosted was American Gladiators with Hulk Hogan.
Oh, that's right. I saw that.
Which was live. And
Big show. There's a lot going on.
It's a big production, yeah. You know, big energy coming from Hulk, and like, I'm standing next to him, so I have to kind of match that. When I'm a little more monotone and laid back, I actually have to turn it on for the camera. Uh-huh. Like, I'm always Layla, but I have to take it up a notch. Otherwise, on TV, you just seem dull, you know?
So you're more like your mom than
yeah,
your dad.
You say what? Well, he's different too when he's not on. You know, he was not like that at home all the time. So it's still him, but it's a different version. So, because if I was like that all the time, I wouldn't have any energy left, you know? So people don't realize there is a skill to it. But on that show with Hulk Hogan, Hulk there, I'm Hulk Hogan! Like, and then if I come on and go, and I'm Layla Ali, you know? So it had to be, and I'm Layla Ali! hi. You know, you got to give them a little, like I have my coffee, you know, a little extra espresso in there, girl. So, yeah, it was interesting. Then you got the live audience and they're watching you the whole time and you're getting autographs in between. So it's fun. But yeah, Homemade Simple is a lot more of a laid back situation because you're working with real families. You're in these homes with their children, with their family in their kitchen. You know, they're helping you do DIY projects. So yeah, we have a lot of fun this season though, to answer your question. Like, you know, I had one episode where I worked with a stunt guy. He's a stunt man for a living. So we do something really fun. And it was crazy, but yeah, I was like, I never thought I'd be on Homemade Simple doing stunts, TV stunts.
And what's it like to work for Oprah?
Well, I mean, we all, you know, you just say Oprah, so much comes to mind, right? She's like the top, right? As far as like just someone, she's always been someone who's inspired me because there was no limits on herself and her mind. Therefore, there are none, you know, and she's been able to just get way to the top. And Oprah has done a great job with her network because I remember when it first started and it wasn't easy, like nothing is. But when you have this microscope on you and people just judging you and just waiting to see if you're going to make it or if you're going to fail, and they're used to you, like everything being so successful right away, that, you know, I'm sure that was tough for her. I could see as a woman and a overachiever and with a lot of ambition and high expectations of herself.
And in the spotlight like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, the spotlight. And that, I mean, I can relate to that, being who I am and going into my dad's field where other people are amateur and training for years and then they get to go get under the big lights. My first pro debut ever in the ring, I had 80 different media cameras there. So they were ready to report. Is she going to get knocked down? They're going them cameras were going to be, and I was going to be on the cover of the LA Times on the canvas, but it went the other way around.
Either way, right.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, I got the 54-second knockouts. So I was like, great, we're off to a good start here. But yeah, she turned it all around, and you know, it takes a team of people. It takes, you know, Oprah can't do it all by herself. She has to rely on other people. So she, but being, and I understand that too. Like, you know, picking the right people that you're going to delegate to that you can trust. So when they say, no, you need to make these moves, you're going to be able to do it.
And I think that's one of the things I love about her. She is a team builder. You know, she mm-hmm. knows how to do that. But I think the other thing is, of course, there's the confidence. But I think that when you're trying to do something that's difficult, like starting a network, I mean, how many people, I don't know who I've seen do that.
I wouldn't know where to start.
In my life and times ever, I wouldn't know where to start either. But what I like is her determination to see it through, mm-hmm. to not be afraid to make the mistakes. I mean, there's so much to be learned from that, you know, mm-hmm. that you may stumble, but, you know, the man who walks by the side of the road, turn himself around, dust himself off, and start all over again.
Yeah, the thing is, for me, the message I'm always trying to put out there is that everybody stumbles. Everybody does, whether you see it or not. It's just a part of life. So when you, I mean, we know that, but when you remind yourself of that, it's just kind of like, okay, nobody's perfect. I don't care if you think they are, because I mean, that's not how you learn. That's not how you grow. Everybody's, I mean, I get more no's than I get yes for things that I pitched in the past, ideas that I had that the people didn't latch on. I'm like, what? You don't see this? And it's like, sometimes it's just timing, or someone else is doing a show similar to that and it's too close, or, you know, so you can't take it personal. But I don't like to put all my eggs in one basket, because you're not going to break all my dreams, you know, all at one time. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, you do get a little down, but you can turn it back around when you have your mind right. Like, okay, this is a part of what's coming. You know, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be some roadblocks, but we're going to find a way around them like you always do, you know?
Yeah. Homemade Simple with Layla Ali. You can see it on Saturdays at 9 a.m. Eastern and Pacific on OWN. So let's talk a little bit more about boxing. Who do you like right now? What are you enjoying anything you're seeing? There have been some interesting matches over the last couple of years.
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited about Terrence Crawford. He's a really talented fighter. He's like looked at amongst many people by pound for pound in the males division. I like to see women's boxing, you know, really getting a platform now since the Olympics, which wasn't available to me. Which was kind of a bum. I was bummed out about that. But women's boxing got, you know, was in the Olympics twice now. And so some of the girls have been able to go on and go pro. They're getting exposure. We got Clarissa Shields, African-American mm-hmm. girl from Flint, is doing really well. You have Katie Taylor, who I'm super impressed by. She's like one of the best I've seen. She's from Ireland. She was also in the Olympics. But, you know, just seeing these women getting opportunities to fight on undercards and sometimes a main event is wonderful. So that's what the sport always needed. So to have more faces, you know, we can't just be one person, because styles make fights and people want to see the great matchups. Are like, you know, this person's set of skills, you know, that person, oh, this is going to be good to see them fight. So if you just have the one, Like, that's what I ended up dealing with. You know, a lot of times people didn't know the girls I was fighting. They didn't know if it was going to be a tough fight, an easy fight, what it was. So that can only go so far, you know. So I'm glad to see now that these girls are able to fight, you know, with knowing, you know, with having some recognition.
Yeah, we know everybody looked at it as a gimmick in the beginning, but it has become so much more because we're seeing really skilled fighters, you know, make a name for themselves in the arena.
Yeah, you see, I mean, people a lot of times will associate, well, they would associate women with, oh, they're wild. I've seen some wild men as well. It's just a skill, whether you're male or female. There's a lot of fighters that, and I used to say this even when I box, that some of the women are like, oh, we don't get the exposure. There's a lot of fighters that don't get exposure, male or female. There's this handful that you see on TV, you know their name, but there's thousands of other fighters. So a lot of times the women think it's just them, but they're like, give somebody a chance though. So, you know, but what's great is when they get in the ring and they put on a good show, because that's what people want to see. When you get that opportunity, you got to make people like, oh, okay, this is something I want to watch. And then if they don't, you can't worry about that. Like, I never worried about who didn't want to watch me. I'm not like, watch me, watch me. It's like, I'm doing it because I love to, this is what I love to do. If the more people watch, the more people get to witness this knockout, the more bragging rights I have. I love it. But if not, you know, what can you do?
What do you think about MMA?
I'm not a big fan of it. Not that I don't like it. It's just not something that, I'm not into the kicking and the blood and the, you know.
It's a little
too
bloody for me.
Yeah, it's a little bit much for me. I could see why people like it, because they know they're going to see a good fight, you know, whether, you know, it's a whole different thing. Like, boxing is more of a sweet science. So I will forever always be, you know, a boxing fan. But, you know, I can see why it's taken off.
Well, I know you're a sports fan in general, too.
Generally, I'm not like you. Like, I'm sure you're way more into sports than I am. Just in this new phase of my life, you know, being a mom, being in health and wellness and cooking. And like, normally, if I put on the TV, I'm going to put on OWN, I'm going to put on HGTV. I'm going to be watching that kind of stuff, because I don't really sit down and watch. I kind of am cooking and dealing with the kids. And usually it's the kids and the husband that have on the TV. But, you know, sports is something that I regret I didn't do younger. Mm-hmm. And I got involved with the Women's Sports Foundation, Billie Jean King's organization, and was past president of her organization. And I remember saying, well, I don't feel right because I didn't play sports, you know, team sports and college sports and all these, like a lot of athletes have. And she was like, but that's why we need you, because she asked me to be. And I was like, I don't think I should be the president. But I'm trying to encourage kids to get involved in sports at a young age because of what you learn about discipline and character and pushing past, you know, when the going gets rough. Athletes learn how to get their mind right. And that's the thing that's going to propel you in life, period, is being able to be in control of your mind, because your body follows, you know, your mind.
Yeah. And, you know, for young girls, especially in this social media world that we live in today, I think that whole self-image piece is so important, and self-confidence. And certainly sports can give you that. I mean, as sad as an athlete as I was, I mean, when I did finally get my hit, I was like,
oh, yeah.
There was nothing like that. And just, I think, you know, you also learn the thing about trying to do something and learning how to do it better when you're not that great at it. But some of the benefits, really, of being involved in sports and why you think girls, it's so important for girls.
Well, when you talk about girls and body image, definitely body image is big, because when you're an athlete, you look at your body differently. You know, your body is performing for you, so you're going to look at your body and you're going to see muscle and think, wow, that's great. Whereas some people are like, oh, I don't want to look like a man, you know, but you understand what that muscle is helping you do. And like, I remember growing up and be like, why are my hands so big? And I have big feet too. There's no excuse for that. I mean, I'm gonna ask God. I mean, why did you give me a size 12? It's hard to find shoes. But the hands, I understand, because I was born to knock people out, so I kind of need these. But you know, so now when I look at my hands, I'm like, I'm good, you know, because these hands came in for me when I needed them to. But you know, it's not so superficial how we look at ourselves, and we're not necessarily just trying to think about a look. We're thinking about more performance, you know. So you're gonna see women of all different shapes and sizes and different levels of muscle and all those things, and it's okay. You know, we're gonna embrace one another, opposed to be sitting around just worrying about what you're gonna look like when you put those jeans on. We don't have time to be worried about that. And then I would say that from a health point of view, just being an athlete, you're naturally going to lose some of the excess fat and the weight that you don't need that's slowing you down, and you're gonna tend to be at your best anyway, and you're gonna accept yourself for what it is. So that it helps in that area too, and everything kind of just balances out.
I think it makes you less afraid mm-hmm. to of situations and less likely to be taken advantage of or be taken for granted. You know, I think it's important for us not to be afraid.
You know, what comes with all of that is, you know, usually if you're an athlete and if you're on a team sport, then you are going to have your mentors. You're going to have your people around you who are uplifting you when you're down, when you didn't do good, and give you that talk. And then you're able to, as a team, you know, in your circle, people, like I said, that are positive and uplifting, you're going to apply that to other areas of your life. And that's where not being afraid comes in, and understanding when you fail, like, okay, I'm going to be able to work on that. I'm going to do better. It's not always going to be this way. And you do learn that through sports, because you win some and you lose some.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're taking your big hands and that you're cooking now, that you're not knocking people out anymore.
I know. It always sounds bad, but hey, those are the good old days, girl. But
hey,
yes.
It doesn't sound bad at all. We enjoyed every minute of it. And I'm just glad that you've survived unscathed and that this second act in your life is a really great one. What do the kids think about the TV show?
They love it. They actually were in the opening of the show. Then we came to my house and shot it, and they were, so they love when it comes on. They see themselves.
Of course.
And, yeah, they were so much younger, you know, and I'm like, look how much you guys have grown. So they've come to the set with me, because of course when I'm gone, and I'm like, I like them to see what I'm doing. And then they understand, okay, you're going on set. Okay, we'll see you later. What you know, show us the makeover you did this week. So they, you know, it's really important for me to be a great role model, the same as my father was, and the legacy he had by, you know, I was really able to learn a lot from him by watching how he led his life. And he's one of the most famous, loved men in the world, and you would never know it. He doesn't think he's better than anyone. He takes the time to smile at everyone. He's just a kind, giving individual. So I want, you know, to every day be the person I say I want my kids to see me as, and make sure that that's what they see, not just what I want them to see. And then in turn, you know, they'll go out in the world and do the same thing. And just, that's how I think it's so important for us as parents to realize we are shaping our children at home, and everyone needs to take that responsibility. You depend on celebrities, that's music right. industry, athletes, none of that. You should be their first place, you know, where they're going to get that discipline at home. And discipline meaning not beating your children up, but teaching them, learning, you know, at home. And then they'll be able to kind of figure the rest out.
Right. You provide that example
exactly.
of how to live. And certainly your dad had a life well lived. And I know he's super proud of all the great things that you're doing. And so
thank
are we.
You. Thank you. Yeah, he is.
I want to thank you for spending some time with us. We will be watching Homemade Simple with Layla Ali. And I'm getting that cookbook, because I
right,
want
girl.
Some of that oven fried chicken.
Okay.
I got to have that. Thanks for hanging out.
Thanks
with
for having
us
me on.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.